Hello everyone, my name is Ski and welcome to the third season of Metamorphoses, or as I like to call it, the gods, but mostly Jupiter, fuck shit up. We ended last book with Europa getting kidnapped by Jupiter in bull form. He swam into the sea with her on his back, like all normal people would do when courting a young girl. This time, and for most of book 3 actually, we continue that story from someone else's point of view, Europa's brother, Cadmus. This is book 3, episode 1. Cadmus, the dragon, and the teeth people. Jupiter the bull and Europa, frightened, finally arrive on land again. Europa probably does not know this, but they have just arrived on Crete, the large island to the south of mainland Greece. We are not told what happens next, because there is a POV shift to Europa's father and brother, but you can guess what Jupiter did to her, I suppose. Europa's father is very worried for his daughter. She was playing on the beach with her friends and suddenly, poof, she just disappears. I guess Jupiter did not leave a note explaining that it was him who kidnapped her. The father decides to send his son, Cadmus, Europa's brother, to find her. And it's clear who his favorite child is, because he threatens to banish Cadmus if he does not find his sister. I suppose the father wants all or nothing. Even Ovid finds this last bit a teensy bit unjust. And so Cadmus wanders around the world, trying to figure out where the hell his sister is, but of course he can't actually find her because he doesn't know where to look. This is not a very great plan. Eventually, and this is like 3 lines after he starts searching, he decides to apparently stop searching and asks for Apollo's help to give him an oracle, a prophecy, because he wants to find a place to settle down, a place to live. I'd say he gives up surprisingly easy, but he has been searching all over the world, so... Apollo then, in his infinite wisdom, tells our dear Cadmus that he will meet a cow in a silent field. This seems like a great way to start when you are trying to find a new home. I myself am always looking for a cow in a silent field when I am finding a new home. Apparently, this specific cow is special. She has never been domesticated for some reason. He should follow this cow and see where she stops to rest, and that's where Cadmus should found his own city, which will be called Thebes. People who know something or other about mythology know that a lot of things happen in Thebes. Cadmus has barely left Delphi, the place Apollo's oracle lives, when he spots a cow in a silent field somewhere. It's moving very slow, does not seem to have anyone near it, so he guesses that this is the undomesticated cow he's looking for. So he follows this cow he finds in a random field, but apparently the cow has a very long way to go because they go through multiple land areas in Greece before the cow stands still somewhere, looks at the sky and for some reason starts lowing, and then looks at Cadmus behind her, knowing he's been there all along. And finally, she kneels down on the grass. Cadmus, who's probably been following this cow for a while now, also collapses into the grass, kisses the ground and greets his new hometown. Cadmus decides the best course of action is to first offer to Jupiter, presumably not knowing what he has done to his sister. He sends some of his men out to look for some water because that is needed for offerings. Now apparently this is the first time these men appear here in the story. Presumably they've also been following the cow. I am not sure how they got here. The men came to this forest, ancient, where never before humans had been, and they found a cave there somewhere, and inside the cave, a dragon. Yes, people, we're talking about dragons in this one. This dragon, the dragon of Mars, apparently, gets a colourful description. His eyes flash fire, his whole body is full of poison, and he has 3 tongues for some reason, and also 3 rows of teeth. The scarier the better, I suppose. But for now, the men actually don't notice the dragon. They're busy filling the urns with water in a nearby creek when the monster appears from his cave, and the men probably piss themselves. They drop their urns immediately. The men are absolutely paralyzed with fear. This dragon, according to the description, like actually a huge, huge dragon, rises above them larger than the forest itself, almost. And then in about 4 lines of poem, all of the men are killed in brutal and cruel ways by this dragon. The end, I suppose. Cadmus, meanwhile, is really wondering where the rest of his friends have gone, and he decides to go look for them, wearing a lion's skin for some reason, and he's also carrying a spear. Ovid makes a mention that his best weapon is actually his heart. I assume that means that he's very courageous. Cadmus finds his friends eventually in the forest, and the dragon is still there, for some reason licking the wounds of the dead men. And then it is time for Cadmus to make a rousing speech, of course. He basically says that he will avenge his friend's death or die with them. At this point, and please remember that Cadmus was carrying a spear, he picks up a rock from somewhere and throws it at the dragon. This of course does nothing. Cadmus then remembers that he has a spear, and thinks it's probably a better idea to throw that rather than a rock he found on the floor. He throws a spear and immediately hits the dragon's spine. The spear stays in the spine, this sounds very painful. The dragon is of course enraged, but seems to have the consciousness of mind to pull out the spear with his teeth, and fortunately for him, the spear point is still stuck in his bones somewhere. The dragon, with part of the spear still stuck in his body, becomes now absolutely deranged. It's insane. He's got like foam frothing from his mouth, black breath, whatever that means, is poisoning the air around him. Cadmus better start praying, I suppose. The dragon then starts wriggling. I think I am now imagining him as a snake, and the whole forest is kind of destroyed. Cadmus, who is apparently almost invincible, just jumps to the side. I'm not sure how far he jumped, but it must have been very far because this dragon is large, as we have established. His lion skin apparently breaks the attack somehow. I thought this was a regular lion skin, but now it seems like it might be like Hercules' Nemean lion. Cadmus also has another spear with him and tries to stab the dragon in the mouth. The dragon seems confused about this and tries to bite the spear instead of Cadmus himself. Because of this, the dragon's mouth starts bleeding, and the blood splatters onto the green grass underneath. Cadmus decides enough is enough and stabs the spear deep into the throat of the dragon until he gets through, I think, and the spear lodges itself into an oak tree behind the dragon. This all sounds very lovely. The poor tree did not have the greatest day. When Cadmus is recovering from his fight with the dragon, suddenly he hears a voice. This is probably not a good sign. "Cadmus," the voices say, "why are you looking at a dead snake?" Aha, so they also think the dragon looks like a snake. "Someday you will be looked at like a snake." This seems mysterious, more about this later. Cadmus is understandably frightened because he is hearing voices, but then suddenly someone appears. It is Pallas, another name for Athena or Minerva. She tells him that he should take the dragon's teeth and sow them into the ground like seeds for new people. This seems incredibly strange, but it is a goddess telling you this, so I suppose you should listen. Cadmus does as he's asked. He goes to plough some land and sows dragon's teeth into the ground. And then, surprise surprise, the seeds actually come to life. The first thing that comes out of the ground is a row of spear points, because that is what you expect when you plant teeth. Then come the helmets, with feathers already attached, then shoulders, torsos carrying weapons, and slowly whole men appear from the ground. Cadmus, who's had a long day, is really annoyed that he will have to fight these new men, but he reaches for his weapons when someone of the new teeth people shouts, "No, stop! We fight amongst ourselves. This is our war." And the guy, having been born like 3 seconds ago, immediately turns around and stabs one of his brothers. Right after that, the first guy is killed by a spear coming from somewhere, and that guy who threw the spear is also killed by something, and just that's what happens to almost all of them. Very nice. There seems to be some sort of metaphor about the future of the city of Thebes. All of the men die except for 5 of them. One guy in particular threw away his weapons and his shield and asked his remaining brothers for peace because Athena told him to do that, not sure why she did not tell the others. And so Cadmus and 5 men made out of the teeth of a dragon founded Thebes. Then everything goes pretty well for a time. Cadmus seems happy. He's been banished from his homeland, but here in Thebes everything is going well. He's married. His father and mother-in-law are Mars and Venus, because he married their daughter, Harmonia. Harmonia herself has given him many sons and daughters. He also has grandchildren now. The story is going quite fast now. But, as Ovid reminds us, you can only call people truly happy after they've died, because something can still happen. And in fact, something does happen. It is a grandson of Cadmus who first breaks the peace of Thebes. He will get horns of a deer on his forehead, his dogs will drink his blood. But ultimately, Ovid says, this is not really his fault. It was fate. He got lost in the woods. And we've arrived at the end for today, again. Next time, we'll find out more about what happened to Cadmus's grandson in one of the more controversial myths concerning a rather popular goddess. As always, my Twitter is @metamorphosesk and my Tumblr is ski-metamorphoses. Until next time, bye!